Hi, this is Leon Morris, the president of Pardaes. I want to ask you to mark your calendars from 12 noon on August 30th to 12 noon on August 31st Eastern Time. Pardaes is aiming to raise $200,000 in 24 hours. Three donors have agreed to contribute $150,000 to Pardaes on one condition. We must first raise a minimum of $50,000 from people like you. Please go to charity.com/Pardaes. That's charity with a D, charity.com/Pardaes, and confirm your commitment to Torah study and diversity by helping Pardaes reach our goal, $200,000 in 24 hours. Todah Meirosh, thank you so much.
Hello and welcome to Pardaes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardaes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardaes alum. This week, Ki Teitzei. This week is also time for me to ask you to please rate us. Please rate the podcast on either iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Rating us doesn't take too long, but does make a big difference. Thank you very much for your help on that. This week, Ki Teitzei with Rabbi Alex Israel. Rabbi Alex Israel is a member of the Pardaes faculty. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. Welcome to all our listeners, and I'm very excited to be talking about Parsha Ki Teitzei. Ki Teitzei is a really exciting parsha. I've always found this since my days in elementary school, where I remember learning Parsha Ki Teitzei, and I think what attracted me to it was the range of mitzvot, of laws that we have in this parsha, which thrust us from into all sorts of different worlds. We start off in the war camp with a captive, a prisoner of war, and then suddenly we found ourselves in a home where there are domestic disputes. We continue with a case of a rebellious child, and then move on to capital punishment. We then find ourselves in the fields, returning lost donkeys. We talk about the mitzvah of tzitzit, not mixing wool and linen together, not allowing a donkey and an ox to plow together. We have laws of marriage and divorce. We have laws of who may become a Jewish convert. We have laws about not talking lashon hara, talking badly about one another, or honest weights and measures, employment law, making sure that you pay your workers on time, theological statements such as children should not be punished for the sins of their parents, and the parsha ends off with the story of Amalek. This is a parsha with enormous range, laws which relate to the nation at large, laws which relate to the individual. We're juggling so many different ethical themes in this parasha, and this makes it a tremendously exciting environment to learn in, and it's an exciting one to address. There are, of course, themes. One of the themes, as I said, is the home. We start off in our very, very first mitzvah. With, you know, in the war camp, but the prisoner of war is brought, veheveta el toch beitecha. Bring her into your home, the notion of the bayit, the house. Later on in the parasha, ki tivne bayit chadash, when you build a new house, vaasita ma'akeh legagecha, home safety, you should make a parapet, you should make sure that your house, your roof is safe, so that nobody can fall off the roof. And almost at the end of the parasha, we have the laws of honest weights and measures, which are expressed in the manner that lo yeh beitcha, you shouldn't have within your house eifa gedola uktana, measures larger and smaller. In other words, all your weights should be equal in weight, and they should be honest. So the notion of bayit, the notion of the home, is a very strong theme. A second theme, which we're going to touch upon, is the theme of animal welfare. respect and concern for animals. I'll just give a few examples. One would be the case of a fallen ass or ox who has fallen under their load, and that you're told not to ignore it, but help and raise the animal. Or the case of the mother bird. If you want to take eggs from a nest which you find along the way, don't just take the eggs while the mother bird is watching. You should even care for the emotions of a bird, and shoo away the mother bird, and only then take the eggs. I mentioned before, don't plow with an ox and an ass together, because, as is explained by the Ibn Ezra, they pull at different, with a different torque, they pull in different ways, the plow, and therefore it will be painful for either the ass and the ox to be, working in tandem, and therefore they should, not be paired together. Funnily enough, some of the commentaries say, and that's true in all employment, you should never allow two people to work together that rub each other up the wrong way, that don't get along in the work environment. We should try and foster a work environment in which people are bringing out the best in one another and not working against another. Another example of animal welfare is lo tachsom shor b'disho. If you have an animal which is involved in the threshing, you're not allowed to muzzle the animal, because the animal can't be working with food all around it, but not be able to eat. So this parasha has a very strong ethical, moral conscience, which even extends to the animal kingdom. And the precise texture of the animal welfare has been a source of great debate between the Ramban and the Rambam, who debated whether we're more concerned with the animal itself or more concerned with what cruelty to animals will do to our emotional state of being. But be it as it may, we're dealing with a high degree of ethical and moral sensitivity. And therefore I want to dive into one particular topic at the beginning of chapter 22, beginning of Perek Chaf Beit, which is the topic of returning lost objects. That's going to be the first topic. And the second one, as I mentioned before, helping up a struggling animal. First, I'll read the text in Hebrew and English, and so that we can analyze this a little bit. Lo tireh et shor achicha oseor nidachim. Don't stand by and see your fellow, or even the Hebrew is achecha, your brother's ox or sheep, gone astray. Vitalam tamehem, and ignore it. Hashev tishivem la'achicha. You must take it back to your fellow or your brother. V'im lo karov achicha elecha, v'lo yeda'ato. And if your brother does not live near you, you don't even know him. V'asafto al toch beitecha. Gather it into your home. V'haya imcha adorosh achicha oto. You should keep it with you until your brother comes looking for it. V'ashevoto lo, and then return it to him. V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simlato, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedat achicha she'toved mimenu u'matzata. Lo tuchal l'himalein. You should do the same with his ass. You should do the same with his garment. And so too you should do with anything your fellow loses and you find. You must not remain indifferent. Lo tuchal l'himalein. This law is quite something. The idea is actually a law that already appears in Parashat Mishpatim, in Shemot chapter 23, and is repeated here in Devarim, that we must be cognizant of lost objects, and we must return objects to their original owner. And I want to pay attention to the, by the way, this, anybody who has studied Masechet Bava Metzia, the tractate of Bava Metzia, will know that the first few chapters deal exactly with this theme, and I'm going to draw on those texts. But I want to pay attention to some of the features of the biblical text here. First thing, time after time it mentions the phrase achicha. Lo tireh et shor achicha. V'im lo karov achicha elecha. V'chlechol avedat achicha asher toved mimenu. The theme here is that we should treat. Now remember, this is a person who you don't even know. In verse 2 it says, And if your brother or your fellow doesn't live near you, or you do not know who he is, this is a person who is a stranger to you. But you saw something lying on the floor. You found something along the street. What are you meant to do? You're meant to look after this item. And why are you looking after it? Because you're meant to treat every fellow Jew, every fellow citizen in your country, as if they are your brother. And just like you would hope your brother would look out for you, so you should look out for any other individual. The other theme is the phrase which appears at the beginning, like bookends, at the beginning and at the end of these three verses. Lo tireh et shor achicha oseo nidachim vihitalamta mehem. Right? Don't ignore it. And again, these words come up at the end, at verse 3. Lo tuchal hitalem. Do not remain indifferent. How easy is it for us to just see something? Here we're talking about an animal who is running through a vineyard, animal who is clearly lost and out of its sheep, walking through a country lane, if we can imagine their rural environment. And you could just say, you saw a wallet lying in the streets and you thought, well, it's no business of mine. The Torah tells you, lo tuchal hitalem, don't ignore it. Have a sense of social responsibility. These two features, the notion of brother and not ignoring, also applies to the next halacha. I'll just read it. If you see your fellow's ass or ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it. You must help him and raise the animal. Lo tireh et chamor achicha o shoro noflim baderech vitalamta mehem hakem takim imo. In other words, this doesn't only refer to inanimate objects like a lost simla, a lost garment, and not only to an animal, but what happens if people are struggling? The equivalent today would be if you see somebody by the side of the road whose car has broken down. Maybe their engine is overheated or they've got a punctured tire. Should you stop and help them? And it seems like, I think if I wanted to try and create a modern equivalent, yes, one is obligated to stop by the side of the road and offer assistance. Do you need me to call somebody? Do you need me to help you change your tire? And what have you, there's a sense here of do not look the other way. Especially as we move at increasing speed in our cars, so often we can, look the other way and not pay attention to the people or the objects around us and not take responsibility. And this is where I say that I look at our Torah and the tradition which it has, and it demands a very high bar of responsibility here. And when we look into the commentaries take this even to a higher level. Why did I choose to talk about this week? Because every single day I learn Mishnah, and it was just this morning that I studied the Mishnahs in second parak of Baba Metzia, which deal with this particular topic. And it's just remarkable the way that the rabbis demand that a person really take on this law fully. Let me just give a few examples of how this manifests itself. When we were reading this again, I'll reread the verse. If you see your fellow's ox or sheep gone astray, don't ignore it. Take it back to your fellow. If your fellow doesn't live near you, or you don't know who he is, you shall bring it home, and it shall remain with you until your fellow claims it. So what happens when you bring it home? What's this idea of bringing it home? And how long do you have to keep it until it is claimed? So here I'm looking at Baba Metzia, the second chapter, Mishnah 8, and it says that you've really got to look after the object. What do we mean? If you found books, you should read with them every 30 days. The aim was that the book shouldn't go moldy. It shouldn't become damp and moldy. So you should air them through 30 days. And it says, what happens if you don't know how to read? So just leaf through them, golalam, just if they were talking about scrolls. So roll the scroll through every 30 days. But he says, but you're not allowed to learn with them, because if you learn with them, you'll spend time reading them, and you might actually wear them out. So you're not allowed to study with them, and you're not even allowed to read them with another friend. If you found clothing, so every 30 days, air it out. But you're not allowed to use that clothing for your honor. And if you have, if it's silver or bronze, then you're, again, only allowed to use them in order to keep them well polished. And you should keep polishing them up, but you're not allowed to wear them down. If you found gold or glass objects, it says, don't touch them. They don't need to be aired out. They don't need to be polished. They don't become tarnished. They won't become damp. And keep them how long? Ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Until the Mashiach comes. So what we're talking about is a great sense of maintenance here that is being demanded. Then, in other words, you have to actually invest your time in order to maintain the object. And again, where do they derive it from? Because it says that you should take it into your home, and it should be with you till your brother asks for it, and then you should return it to him. Well, you don't want to return a book which is full of mold. You don't want to return a tarnished object, and therefore you should look after it. The Mishnah doesn't, though, it is aware of other issues as well. So, for example, what would happen if you had an animal which doesn't, let's say a horse, for example, which just eats but doesn't really give you anything. It's not like a chicken, which, you know, you could maybe eat the eggs. But what would be happen then? And then the Mishnah says, well, obviously you don't need to care for an animal. Kol davar she'oseh ve'ochel yaseh ve'ochel. If the animal actually produces, so fine. So it'll produce eggs, and you can feed it on that, on the what it produces. But davar she'eino oseh ve'ochel, but if it doesn't produce anything, then just sell it and return the money to him. When the person comes looking for their missing horse, what you should do is just simply say, listen, I couldn't, it was too much to look after the horse, I sold it, but here's the money. Fascinatingly enough, the Talmud has plenty of examples where people went beyond the letter of the law, and I'll give you a couple of examples. This one is a story about a rabbi who was particularly pious, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. And this comes from the Yerushalmi in Gemara. I'll read it in English. It is related of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, who was living in a city in the south, and two poor men came there to seek a livelihood. They had with them two se'ah of barley. So they had a certain amount of barley with them. Barley was usually poor people's food, and these were poor men who had their provisions with them, some barley, to carry on the way. And they left it with him, but then they forgot about it. Year after year, Rav Pinchas ben Yair sowed the barley, reaped it, and stored it in a granary. And after a lapse of 7 years, 7 years later, the two men returned and asked for their barley. So Rav Pinchas ben Yair knew that he couldn't keep the barley as it was. It would go moldy. So he thought, what should he do? And he simply planted it. And when they came back after 7 years, they asked for their barley, and Rav Pinchas ben Yair said to them and said, you better fetch camels and asses and then come and take your stores of barley. The barley had become so large because he had grown it that they would have to actually transport it with, they couldn't really carry it themselves. Or another story from Masechet Tanit of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, where somebody left some hens. And Rabbi Chanina said to his wife, when she took in these hens, don't eat any of the eggs. And the chickens and eggs kept on multiplying. And so what they did was they sold the chickens and then brought some goats, because they couldn't deal with that number of chickens. And one day they were in their house, and they heard somebody walking past their house and said, oh, you know what? I was once here and I lost some hens. And when Rabbi Chanina overheard them, he said, can you identify them? And he said, he identified them, and basically they gave him the whole herd of goats. Now, I think these are both examples of what we call Lifnei Mishurat Hadin, going beyond the letter of the law. But these are rabbinic stories which give us a sense of just how careful we have to be these, of course, rabbinic stories of piety where these people didn't want to gain anything and really took their responsibility beyond the letter of the law. But if we can go back to the original law, this idea that we shouldn't walk through the streets and ignore what is going on around us, that if we see something, we should try and find a way of dealing with it. And the Mishnah, again, in chapter 2 of Bava Metzia, discusses how do we find the original owners. So we said, if you don't know the owner, so how do you find him? And in fact, maybe it was, I don't know if it was easier or harder in the ancient world. Now maybe over the internet there are ways of doing this. But the Mishnah talks about that what you've got to do is you've got to announce it. You've got to be machriz. And how long are you machriz? Says chapter 2, Mishnah 6, till all of the neighbors know, says Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to announce it throughout the three regalim, the three foot festivals. There was a lot of traveling going on at holiday season, and the assumption was that people would have left things. Frequently when you're on holiday, you lose objects, and therefore around each of the three holidays, for three holidays which followed this, and the assumption is that pilgrims would be coming to Jerusalem, and maybe they would follow the same route each year, and therefore you would have to sort of, I don't know, maybe there'd be a bulletin board in each village and hamlet, which would, and you would be expected to put up, oh, I found a jar here, I found a shirt on this road, and maybe somebody passing through would say, oh, I lost my shirt here, right over here, and they'd actually be able to pick it up. I guess today you can announce these sorts of things on Facebook, and somehow through different, I imagine that there are means of doing this over the internet, and maybe you can actually find the owner. And I hear all the time about stories of people who have left a wallet or a credit card in Israeli taxis, and how often suddenly they get a phone call from the taxi driver who wants to return it to them. And it's really heartwarming when you hear such stories, that you hear cases of honesty, but also where people have been incredibly honest in trying and expended time and energy in tracking down the original owner. I want to spend 2 minutes on the next halacha, which I already read. If you see your fellow's ass or ox fallen on the road, do not ignore it. You must help him raise it. And here, obviously, there is concern for your fellow, but there's also concern for the animal. And here there's a very long discussion in Bava Metzia about whether the concern here is one of concern for animals, tsar balei chayim, worrying about a poor animal struggling, overburdened under a load, or whether it's actually concern for a human concern. And what overrides which? Does human concern override animal concern? And this is a big debate. The Talmud gives a great example. Let's say somebody knows that this is the halacha, and they just sit by the side and they say, well, it's your mitzvah to help the animal. You help it and I'll sit and have a rest here on the side. In that case, you're actually not obligated to help. Even though the animal's suffering, you don't need to be a victim of somebody else's lack of caring. If the man himself doesn't care for his animal, you're not going to need to stand there as he is watching you be abused. But I'd like to relate to this in a different regard, because something very interesting here. When we read this law in chapter 23 of Shemot, it was phrased in the following way. When you see the ass of your enemy lying under its burden, should you refrain from raising it? No, you must raise it with him. It spoke about there the ass of your enemy, the chamor, the donkey of your enemy, of somebody you hate. Whereas in our parsha, here in chapter 22, verse 4, it says, if you see your fellow's ass, et chamor achicha, in fact, your brother's donkey. And here, the question is, why in one place does it talk about a person that you hate? And in our case, it talks about your brother. And here there is a beautiful comment of Rabbeinu Bachaye in his commentary on Devarim, where he talks about the ability of acts of interpersonal assistance in order to change the relationship between people. And he says that with a little bit of French, I'll read what it says. It says, "B'parashat Mishpatim his ki kitira chamor sonacha." In Mishpatim it says, when the donkey of your enemy. And now it says, chamor achicha. So he says, "L'lamedcha," it teaches you, "Sh'im haya sonacha, sh'yachzor achicha l'inyan ha'ezer, sh'takim imo, v'tishkach ha'sina v'tizkor ha'ahava." When you have to help somebody on the side of the road, suddenly you develop a congeniality towards that person. When you're involved in helping an individual, suddenly you start building interhuman ties, and even somebody who you disliked becomes somebody who is your friend, who is your brother. And this is really a fascinating thought. Sometimes we don't want to stop because we don't see that person as a brother. We don't know who they are. They're a stranger. And what Rabbeinu Bachaye wants to suggest is that actually when we engage in assistance, when we interact with somebody and give them a little bit of help and care and attention, suddenly we start realizing that somebody who before seemed an alien to me, somebody I was even maybe a little wary of, becomes my friend. And this is taken even further by the Tosafot in Masechet Bava Metzia. And the Tosafot imagines the following example. He says, let's say you have an animal who's really struggling, and it's an animal of your friend. And then you see another animal. The animal's not struggling, but you have to sort of load it up, but it's somebody who you dislike. And he says, which one should we help? In one case, there's animal welfare, but the person's your friend. In the other case, you've got to offer assistance to another human being, but it's somebody you dislike. And Tosfot says, go and help the person you dislike, your sonne, the person you've had an argument with, the person you had previously fallen out with. And it's also said this is really strange because tsar balei chayim, caring for animals, is also a law from the Torah. And the Tosfot says, if you don't help the person who you already have a bad history with, the hatred will deepen. The hatred will deepen, and that will be even worse. He says that kamayim hapanim al hapanim kein lev ha'adam al ha'adam. Human beings reflect each other in their feelings. And when you experience being ignored, or you experience being shunted aside by another person, then your animosity towards that person deepens. So he says, I've got a choice, to help an animal or to repair a relationship. And he says, here, your responsibility is to go to the person who you actually have a bad history with, to actually go actively and help that person. And when you show a little bit of love, then they will show a little bit of love back. In other words, these are laws which express sensitivity to animals. These are laws which express an arena in which we can exercise a sense of citizenry, a sense of social cohesion. But this is also an area where we stop alongside somebody who we don't know and help them change a tire. When sometimes we even have a bad history with somebody, but we particularly help them with something that they need, which they didn't expect because we actually have a bit of a rocky history with them, and suddenly we come out to their aid. This is actually an environment in which we can repair relationships. And thereby, maybe we understand why in these verses, in verse 1 to 4, four times, we don't just talk about our fellow, we don't talk about our kinsman, but we talk about achecha, your brother, because this is a way in which we can repair human relationships and make all of the people around us into our brothers and sisters. So I hope this has whetted your appetite to look in a little more depth at the laws that we have in Parashat Ki Tetzeh. They really are fascinating, and they express a very, very deep social conscience. And I'd say more than that, a deep or a very high social aspiration for what society could be if we were able to really exercise true compassion and true assistance within our societies. Wishing you all Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Rabbi Israel. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.